Blog Talk Radio.
Little one, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Oh, yeah, today is a wonderful day. We are blessed to have Harriet Tinker on our show, and I will tell you about her in a minute, and then she will be with us. Very, very lucky day for us today. I just want to expand on something when I say that we would like to connect to the fact that we are all one. I read something really profound this week about how each individual human being is a macrocosm of the microcosm of the entire universe. In other words, the entire universe is actually in each and every one of us. So we contain all the qualities of the entire universe individually and collectively, which I thought was absolutely amazing. And if there is anything in that entire universe that you want to tap into, that means that all you really actually have to do is tap into your own inner self. I just found that really, really amazing and really coincidental. And Harriet Tinker is one of those people that has tapped into so many different aspects of life that she actually made me realize that, wow, you can go from being a model to being a student to being totally destroyed by trauma to totally coming back and being enlightened again. I'd like to welcome Harriet Tinker to Tippy Talk, and thank you so much for joining us, Harriet.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and big hello to the Tippy Talk Nation. I'm so excited.
Tippy Talk Nation, I like that one.
Yeah.
You're the first one to use that. All right, everybody, now you know it is Tippy Talk Nation. Thank you, Harriet. Wonderful. So you're coming to us all the way from the mountains of Canada, huh?
I am, yes. It's a beautiful day and the weather is just as it should be.
Wonderful. I wish I could have that every day. I always wake up and say, if every day was just sunshine and flowers, I will never miss the snow. And I wouldn't even miss the rain. So I'm good with that. I think that's it's one of the reasons I never left LA, because most of the time it really is beautiful out there. So, Harriet, you were a model and then you were a student and then something happened to you. And I want to hear whether it was. But it ended up being with a beautiful book that you wrote together with Alan Leica. And I interviewed him before, so I just want to let everybody know that if you want to listen to that interview, this book that is called The Secret to Living a Fantastic Life was written by Harriet Tinker together with Alan Leica. And so if you want to listen to the other interview, the link is right here below. If you're listening to this on the internet, all you have to do is click on that link. And that's another story, Harriet, with you and Alan, how you met and how that all got together.
You bet it is, yeah. And I can share it as well.
Wonderful. And the reason I chose to do separate interviews with you and him is because I really wanted to get your story. And it's difficult for me when I have two people to get the complete story of each individual. And I wanted to do that. Even though you guys put this project together, you still each have your own unique individual story.
You bet. Yeah, it's sometimes we've had interviews where both of us go on to the show, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit difficult. So this is great. I'm excited to share my story.
Yeah, I really wanted to hear individually what happened to you. So tell me a little bit about your modeling career and how that transitioned, and then I really want to hear about how you were traumatized and what happened to you.
So when I started off, when I was discovered walking on the street with my mother, and a lady asked my mother if I was interested in becoming a model. And at the time, because I had just come from Kenya, she had no idea what modeling was, and I didn't either. So, of course, I researched, and I saw the most beautiful women in the world, and I told my mom, this is what I've always wanted to do. And my mom said, no, you didn't even know what that was. So anyway, we got to, it was funny, and eventually she said no, because to take the modeling classes, we had to pay $2,000, and that was a lot. Because we just came to Canada, there were seven of us in the family, so we didn't have a lot of money. So she absolutely said no. Anyway, after a few begging and walking around, feeling sorry for myself, my mom said, okay, we'll go to the agency and see if they'll give us an opportunity. And the agency decided to pay for all my courses on how to walk and how to be confident. And so that's how we kind of started off. And I went to the New York, it's called the IMTA, International Modeling Talent Association. It's like basically an event where all the models, all the scouts all get together, and they really tell you if you have what it takes or not. So that's really where I started modeling. And I worked for many years. And after a few years, I decided it was enough. I needed to focus on my formal education.
Wow. So how old were you when you came from Kenya?
I was 16 years old.
And how was the age
where, you know?
Yeah, did you come to Canada?
Yeah, directly to Edmonton, Canada. And it was exciting to see snow because you've never seen it before. You touch it and it feels great. Uh-huh. It melts in your hand. But we could not believe the capacity of how cold it was. We thought, oh, just put a sweater on and life is good. Mm. But no, you had to literally wear, I think you call them parkas. We call them toques here. You had to wear your gloves. You had to wear boots. It was ridiculous. It was like you're wearing, I felt like an astronaut walking around in this heavy outfit. But we got used to it. After a while, the novelty of loving winter wasn't there anymore.
I know, it's like first year, great, snow, let's build a snowman, freeze in crazy ways, and then it's like, oh God, I don't need that stupid snowman anymore.
Exactly, yeah, the adjustment.
Yeah, but the language was not difficult?
It wasn't difficult because in Kenya it was a British colonized, so we were taught by British. Yeah, so it wasn't difficult. And English and Swahili were the languages that we spoke, were the national languages. So other than other tribes, but those are the main languages that we used. So it wasn't difficult. I just found the education system in Canada was a bit lower compared to Kenya because the British system is a bit higher. So that was difficult to adjust to, but eventually.
So you actually did high school in Canada?
Yes, I did, yeah. Yeah, it was difficult to actually understand that they go to school with no uniform. You had to wear a uniform, and you had to wear your own regular clothes. So that was an adjustment. Culture shock.
Yes, the culture is, people don't realize that, how difficult it is to adjust to a new country and a new way of life. Unless you've been through it, you do not understand what it does to your brain and to your body. But I think at the end of it, for me, I went through the same thing, but I was 11. And I think it was a little bit different, but it was still very difficult. But at the end of it, you come out much, much stronger.
You do. I agree. Because when you're going through it, you just faced with so many challenges and you try to adjust accordingly. But you're right, you do come out strong and tougher.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you had another culture shock with the modeling world, which I'm sure was not something you really expected or even knew what it was when you got into it, right?
Or the industry is different. Like you think, you most of us see models on the runway and they look beautiful and they look all put together, but it's the behind the scenes that you don't really know, you don't see, because you literally have to watch what you eat. You're constantly being criticized. You're too big. You're too small. You're never too small. That's never a conversation. You're never good enough. You're never good enough. You may walk in, one agency might say you're the most beautiful person in the world. The other one, you're like, you're not the market we're looking for. Try again.
Mm-hmm.
So it really teaches you to be resilient. You start accepting that no doesn't mean exactly no. It means keep trying.
I think you could probably write a book about the backstage of the modeling industry, because I think a lot of young girls have no idea what they're getting into. And personally, I think it's a very cruel and unusual punishment for a woman, and the payback is not even worth it, no matter how much money you make. Right? That's what I feel about it.
It breeds a lot of insecurities and negativity in young girls, because they try to attain this it's not attainable, the perfection that you see, because I would see myself, I was 5'8" and 110 pounds. All of a sudden I see my picture, I'm 6'1" or something and I'm like 100 pounds. And I can't even look like that.
A lot of photoshopping.
Yeah.
That's like a skeleton.
A lot of, but that's what the industry, a lot of it. So that's what the industry really thought women wanted to see. So that's what they market. And we all try to look like that. Even I can look like me.
Right. Unbelievable. Yeah. So you walked away from all that.
I did, because my parents said, well, you can do the modeling, but when you're done, you need to focus on your education. Because I had actually gotten accepted in medical school. But I decided to pursue my career in modeling, because I said, no, I can always do that medical school another time. Modeling is for one time. So I did that. And it was a good experience. I have no regrets.
Oh, yeah.
Now I had to,
So you went to school for medical school? Went back to school to
learn? Yeah, when I was done, I actually met a really great investor, and he taught me about how to really save your money, and he made me read this book, The Richest Man in Babylon, and all of that. And I decided, I think I want to be an accountant. I'd be an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to school to become a CPA. I think we call it chartered professional accountant here, but I think in the States it's called certified professional accountant. So
yes, it is. So they call them here CPA. Did you become a CPA? Are you a certified CPA?
I did.
Now?
I am, and I did it, and it wasn't easy, but it's worth it.
Yeah, you like it. It's a good.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I'm a number person.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah.
And then something happened to you in school. What happened?
Yeah, so basically what I, after I retired from the modeling career, so to speak, I decided to enroll into the university. So while I was there, I didn't really make a lot of friends initially, but eventually I did make friends with a fellow student, and I had no idea that his attraction to me was like a psychological trap disguised as love, and which later on would turn out to be deadly. And I was your typical victim of domestic violence. I was young, naive. I had no clue the signs or the patterns of an abusive relationship. So a lot of the time, he would always be so abusive, he would yell and scream, but then he would apologize later on. So I thought, oh, this is good. So I was confusing his abusive way for love.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, he started to get a little bit, he would stalk me everywhere I go, and I became really afraid for my safety. So the police recommended that I get a restraining order, which is basically it's a restriction that he cannot ever come near me, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got that, I was quite happy. I thought, oh, this is excellent. I can now move on with my life and feel free. So one day, I was busy. I was studying late at night at school, and I looked at the time. I said, oh, my, I should go home. So I got into my apartment, and I was busy looking for my keys, not even paying attention who was in the elevator. So as soon as I reached into my handbag, I felt somebody reach behind me and touch it really strong, pull my neck, and he squeezed it so hard, and I started to scream. And he was nervous, so he took his socks off and stuffed it in my mouth to shut me up. And then he pulled me all the way to the vehicle and started driving. And he was screaming and yelling and telling me, how dare you get this restraining order against me? You know, I'm the only man who ever loved you. I have unconditional love for you. And he was so abusive, and he kept yelling and screaming. And eventually we drove and we saw a telephone booth, and neither one of us had a phone at the time. So he told me, I need to get out of the vehicle and go call my parents and say goodbye to them, because this would be the last time they would ever hear from me. And at the time, I figured, you know, if he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. So I said no. And he was so upset at the fact that I had said no to him. So he said, okay, I'm going to say this again. In the back of my car, I have a rope, a knife, and gasoline. I'm going to wrap your body up with a rope, cut you in pieces, and set your body on fire. Now, are you going to call your parents? I still said no. And he got so angry. He had a knife in the glove compartment. He reached out and pulled it from there, and he stabbed me 2 times on my left leg. And at that point, there was blood gushing everywhere on the windshield. So I don't actually remember from that point where I was stabbed and left for dead to the point how I got to the hospital. Even today, I have no idea. So when I woke up, my dad and the doctor were there, and the doctor told my father that chances are I'll never walk again because the stabbing was so deep they had chipped my bone. Or if I do walk, it'll be really difficult. So I was thinking to myself at that point, I had been an international model, walking the runways, full of confidence. Now I was depressed and a cripple. Probably never have to walk again. So what separated me from my confidence and my depression was my trauma. So I started feeling sorry for myself, saying, why me? You know, go through all that emotions. But I knew I had to start healing. So I had to go for physiotherapy to learn how to walk again. So one day there I was sitting, feeling sorry for myself in the waiting room. And a lot of the details are in the book. A little girl comes in and she's full of energy and talking so loud. You know, sometimes when you're in that moment, you don't want to talk to people. I was feeling that way. Anyway, I shared my story in the version that a 9-year-old could understand. And she told me that I needed to use my story to inspire the world because the people need to hear it. And life is about connecting the dots, because at the point I didn't know. So that's how I ended up using my story to inspire people out there that really need some motivation, some inspiration, so they can see that your suffering is really a gift that you can use to inspire other people and make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. That was a very smart 9-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Her name was Amber, and I have no idea how she came to be. In fact, we've tried to find out where she is today. Still can't find her. Yeah, they've done some. Maybe
what's
she changed
her name?
Maybe she was adopted. Amber was her name, her first name. I never got to know her. Like, Amber.
Amber. Amber. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
9-year-old Mike on a wheelchair. Yeah, she was in
a wheelchair.
Yeah, wow. So basically her story was she had been going for a dance lesson and somebody went through the red light. So both her parents died. So she was motherless, fatherless, and homeless. Yet she had so much gratitude. So it was.
Wow.
So when I heard her story, I thought my story was nothing compared to what she was going through. But it's not about comparing stories, really. It's about what you're going through and how you get through it.
Absolutely. It's not about comparing stories. So how were you able to walk again? Are you walking again? I'm assuming you are.
I did. It took me a long time. I was on crutches every day. It was very emotional. A lot of feeling story, being depressed, you know, trying to, you know, you really go through these emotions. And it's not easy. It was a long process. It took me probably, I would say, almost 3 years almost to really get back to my runway walk, so to speak. Yeah, so now, so that's really how I ended up learning to walk again. It was a process.
So your major injury was on your legs.
Yeah, and there was stabbing on my hand too, the whole thing. There's a lot of other injuries that happened, but those I also had to learn how to make a fist because he sliced my fingers as well.
During the
episode. Yeah, so there's a lot of trauma that happened.
Oh, is he in jail?
He actually got a month.
A month?
You only get a month. Yeah. That's how the system works. Yeah.
Where? In the United States?
No, in Canada. Because
a
it
month?
Wasn't really just a month, yes.
Oh
my Which
God.
Is because during the process he had been in jail for a few because when you're waiting for the case to go through, he was given actually 6 months, but you know, he had been in there still waiting for the case to be established, what the outcome would be. So that counts towards his jail term. And you're only supposed to serve, I believe, a third of what you are asked to go to jail for. So that also didn't help with my healing process. I was like, oh my God, he does attempted murder and he gets away with it. So it's it's unfortunate, but I can't focus on that. I have to focus on getting better.
Well, yeah, it's not even that. The fact of the matter is that he's out there and he will do it again. And they won't even bother stopping him. Even 6 months sounds ridiculous to me. He should be doing at least minimum 10 years, minimum. And then I don't even think that's enough. But 6 months and then they put it down to 1 month. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, I knew Canada justice system was crazy. I didn't know it was that crazy.
Yeah, and it depends on how they present it. I don't even know if they presented it as attempted murder. I think they just said aggravated assault. So that's a lower. I'm not sure of the law. I don't know much about the law system, but to me it should have been attempted murder because I was left to die in the middle of nowhere.
Right. And do you know who found you or how you got there? Were you told about that, even though you don't remember it?
Nobody's told me ever. They say that perhaps he drove me to the hospital and ran away because it was scared. Yeah, because I was found. They say that I was picked up in the front of the hospital at the emergency. Somebody,
that's possible.
And then they, but I don't remember all of that. Maybe somebody could hypnotize me one day and tell me how it all worked out.
Well, I actually know somebody that can do that, but we'll talk about that some other time because I want to hear about you healing. And as a result of that, and like you said, every suffering that you go, that is really a gift. So what is the gift that you found from all of that that you went through?
After what I went through, it was it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens. So I'm using my story to share with the world out there. And I work with women who are domestic violence survivors or going through that. And I also work with young girls to empower them because of my experience as a model. I just work with them to help them with their self-esteem, the communication, just anything, personal development. So that's what my company does for young girls and women. So I focus on, that's the core of my business. But I do also work with men because to support your girls, you also have to empower the men as well so that they can be part of the conversation.
I love that you work with men also because I always feel people that only work with women, only gather with women, only go to women. I feel like they're missing half of the picture. So I love the fact that you realize that if you separate men from women, you don't have the complete picture. You kind of have half of the picture. Right?
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I have workshop for fathers and daughters, mothers and sons. So there's that relationship that I have workshop for. So they can understand each other because we're all kind of wired differently. So we need to understand each other so that we can empower each other as a community.
Exactly. What's the name of your company?
Empowered Me. One word.
Empowered Me, one word. And that's the website also, empoweredme.com?
It's here, actually.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant. I figured it out all by myself. So is it empoweredme.com?
No, .ca, empoweredme.ca.
Oh, that's CA. Okay. And that's your company. And then you met someone and you wrote this book that we were talking about. How did you meet and how did that happen? What made you decide to write a book about it and how did you come together?
Oh, so Dr. Leica was, being a doctor, he was always giving back to the community. And one of the organizations that, or event, I should say, that he was supporting was, it's called the YWCA Women of Distinction. So this event is to recognize women, what they've done in the community, whether it's through their business or through their experiences. So my category was called Turning Point. So basically is what I did with my story to make a difference in the community. There was about 13 women in that category, but fortunately I was the recipient of that award, which was a big deal.
Mm.
And so after that event, I managed to meet Dr. Leica and we had a conversation. I took him out for lunch so that he wanted to really know more about my story. And he also shared his story, which was also very traumatic as well. And then we just said, maybe one day we'll write a book because our stories need to be shared with the world so they can make an impact. So that was 4 years ago. We talked about it and we met for coffee. And then finally, here we are today. And here's the book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. So it's through our experiences that we came up with the 13 golden pearls. In fact, there were 20 when we started. Also, we thought, that's too much. Let's just chop them in a reasonable amount. And we decided to have 13 golden pearls.
The Secret to Living an Amazing Life. That's the title of the book, right?
Fantastic Life.
Fantastic Life. Is it on Amazon? Fantastic
It will
life.
Be on a... Because we're launching on June 5th, so shortly after it will be live. So for now, we're just doing pre-orders. So if anybody wants to get the book, we do have a link for that as well.
Where do they go if they don't have the link?
It's a fantasticlifebook.com.
Fantasticlifebook.com. So we have two websites. We have the fantasticlifebook.com where they can go and pre-order the book before it gets published. And then they can also go to empowerme.ca to find out more about what you do. And I actually just went there. And where is it? I took a look at it and it looked really nice. It's if you go to Empowered Me, can they contact you through here? Because I see there's a phone number and then there's an email address. So you guys can do that. You can.
Yeah, either telephone or email, whatever communication they prefer. I am open to either or both.
Right. And then on the website, I think this is a great website because it tells all about what you do, the workshops, classes, services, what it is that it stands out about. Everything is right here on the website. It's a nice website. I like it. It's very classy looking. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank
so it's so Empowered. Much. Yeah, you're welcome. Empowered, E-R-E-D, me, .ca. And yeah, that's where you can check it out. That sounds really, really nice. I love when I see someone doing things like that. out of a situation where you could have been depressed for the rest of your life. You could have just said, oh, forget it, my life is over, there's nothing I can do. But instead, you took the way to say, no, I'm going to overcome this, I'm going to fight it, I'm going to walk again. Because I will bet that if you would have given up and lay down, you probably would have never walked again.
Oh, probably. I agree with that. Because I think that my mindset really pushed me to get through it. Because the pain can be a teacher. And it helps us appreciate happiness, just like the golden pearl. That's why we use the golden pearl, because it's symbolic of what we went through. Now, the reason we use the golden pearl is, it's actually, there's a South Sea oyster that is in Indonesia and Philippines. So what happens is a little substance goes right into the shell, and it really irritates the shell, but it develops into a golden pearl. So that suffering that a golden pearl goes, a sea oyster goes through, turns into a golden pearl. So it's the same thing that me and Dr. Laika went through, all the suffering and all the pain, we came out on top. So it's very symbolic. That's why we call it the golden pearl.
I love that. And, you know, Dr. Alan Laika did tell me that, but I never knew that that's how the pearls develop, out of pain, out of something uncomfortable. I think that is such a beautiful analogy. That's such a beautiful way of putting it together with the pearl and the lesson that you've learned of overcoming. Because that's basically, at the end of the day, that's what a pearl is, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just like even pressure can turn us into dust or diamonds. And in this case, it turned us into golden pearls.
Exactly. So what is the book about? Give me something that's in the book that stands out to you. What will people find when they read the book?
Okay, so the book has 13 golden pearls. So all of them start off with a parable, a story about a lesson. And there's always a moral behind it. And then thereafter, there's a conversation between me and Dr. Laika. And so we basically are having a conversation, just like you and me having a conversation as we speak. So the book is similar to that. And some of the golden pearls will be things like forgiveness, because that's a big one, especially with what I went through, or purpose, or any of that. And I can share with you, especially forgiveness, that's a big one. So that's one of the golden pearls. And if you like, I can give you the steps of how I learned how to forgive.
Sure, you know, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because forgiveness. Normally, I like to paraphrase Nelson Mandela, because for me, he inspires me to even forgive more. Because he said in one of the quotes that he knew stepping out of that door towards the gate that would lead him to freedom. If he did not leave his past behind him, he'd still be in jail. So same thing for me. I had to let go of the past and just move forward. Now with forgiveness, it's not natural. The humans are not born to forgive. It's not a natural emotion. But what's natural is hate. Hate is a natural emotion. And we use that. And if you actually look at the definition of hate, because I'm sure your listeners are going to say, no, we don't want to start hating. But when you look at the definition of hate, it's an intense or passionate dislike for someone. So we'll use hate to really describe what threatens our life, somebody we love. For example, we can say, I hate cancer because it hurts to see my dad suffering. I feel helpless. Or I hate doing this. So you're using hate to describe your emotion towards something. So what I had to do for forgiveness, I had to use the word hate to really understand how to forgive. So I used three steps. So number one, you just write down why you hate and why. So for example, I said, I hate my attacker because he put me in the hospital. I hate my attacker because he put a scar on my leg. So that's step one. And then step two, take the second sentence and turn it into love. I hate my attacker because I love being healthy. I hate my attacker because I love my perfect imperfection. And then step three, only focus on the love part. Get rid of the hate because that's done. Now you just focus on, I love being healthy. I love my imperfection, my perfect imperfection. So if you use these 3 steps, and it's a comprehensive process, it will really help you learn to forgive. Because it's not easy to forgive when you've been through trauma or somebody's done something to your child. It's easier to forgive when somebody cuts you off when you're driving or somebody forgets to tape your favorite show. You can forgive quickly.
I don't know if I can forgive that.
It takes a while, but eventually you kind of... Then you'd have to go through those steps then. But it works really well when you're going through the whole forgiveness.
So do you teach that in your workshop, how to forgive? Do you go through the process with people?
You bet, because I volunteer at the women's shelter, and that's always the most difficult thing for women who've been abused, to really forgive their, could be a husband or could be even a parent, to really forgive the trauma that they've gone through. So just using this journal and just writing down how you're feeling is therapeutic for them. And of course, they also get counseling from professionals, from psychologists and so on. So this is an add-on for what they're going through, because you need to have a community to support you when you're going through things like this.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps.
Yeah, that I think that really is the last piece of the puzzle that really helps to get over the intense feelings that you have. Absolutely, it's the community. I don't think, and that's one of the things, we're all connected in a way that we need each other to heal and to live our life complete. Absolutely.
Oh, you definitely do, because it's difficult, because what I use with the women at the shelter, I tell them to hold a bottle in their mind. Think of yourself holding, let's say, a 2-liter bottle of water. So you're holding it, you're holding for 2 hours, 3 hours, 24 hours, you're still holding that bottle. The bottle itself is not changing, but the pain in your arm is going to change, it's going to get worse and worse. So the pain in your arm are those worries, are all those anxieties. So you don't want to be in pain, you need to let go of that. So I give them solutions on how to let go of the pain in their arm so that that bottle is not so straining anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because it's very, very painful. But you got through it.
I did, yeah. It's just a permanent attitude. You just have to decide, I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. So really, it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens. And that's so key, especially now that we're going through all this. There's so much going on in the world now, and there's so many... the unknown and the fear and all that. So much going on. You just have to love yourself unconditionally.
Yeah, absolutely. You do. And when you love yourself unconditionally, it's easier to love other people. Because how can you love somebody?
Yes.
Right? How can you love other people if you cannot love yourself?
Yeah, you can't give what you don't have, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds beautiful. And then once again, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, they can get through your website. So can you give us the website one more time?
You bet. So the website is www.empoweredme.ca, and it's one word, empowered empoweredme.ca. So to get a hold of me directly. And if you do want to get a copy of the book, which will go live on June 5th, they can get it right now at www.fantasticlifebook.com.
TheFantasticLifeBook.com. Got it.
You bet. And we also have a way that your audience, if they want to get an affirmation on one of the golden pearls every day, once a week, we do have a text number as well. And I'll share that with your audience if they're ready with a pen. So it's 1-819-717-2515. So that's 1-819-717-2515. So there we usually you can text that number and you get a golden pearl once a week. And there's 500 of them that we have. So every day for the rest of the year, you can get a golden pearl weekly.
Beautiful. Beautiful pearls and beautiful story. Thank you so much for doing that. And thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really a pleasure talking to you. And it's been so fantastic that we don't even realize how fast time goes. I could probably be talking to you for a couple more hours and still not have enough to talk. So I think reading the book is really the answer. And I really would encourage people to read the book. And then if you have any questions or any comments and you want to get in touch with you, so Harriet, they can get in touch with you, right?
You bet, yes. I'm always available by email or by telephone as well. I'm happy to talk to any of your audiences.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. So we've come to the end of our time together here on Tiffy Talk with Harriet Mika, who not only healed herself through after intense trauma, but is now teaching others how to heal through her 13 pearls of wisdom. It's really been a great pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time, and all the best to all your audience. And just remember, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens. And just love yourself unconditionally. Believe in yourself. Believe in your dreams. If you don't, who will?
And don't forget that. Those are the words of wisdom. A great way to end this conversation. And don't forget, everybody, if you have a story, we are here to listen to your story. Not every story is as intense as Harriet's story. This is a really exceptional situation. But your trauma and your pain could be your biggest gift if you allow that to be. And I think that's really the bottom line of what you're saying, Harriet, is that you could overcome and you can turn it into your biggest gift, right?
You bet, yes. Just think whatever you're going through, it's a lesson. There's something going on. We all have lessons that we go through. We have our own journey. So just believe in yourself and just love yourself. You're enough. If you're enough for yourself, you'll be enough for everybody.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, talking here today to Harriet Mika. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Today, our story is a story of healing, health, and things that so many people go through, and a lot of us get stuck right smack in the middle where we really don't want to be, places that we don't want to be. But Harriet is one of those people that is going to teach us today, that has actually taught us today, that there's no need to get stuck there. There's always a better way, and there's always a way of overcoming. If you need help, you can always go and get in touch with Harriet and her new project. Once again, thank you for joining us.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures. Girl, you don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent. Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart is.